This is Teddy Teapot with Teddy Mellencamp.
Hi guys, welcome back to Teddy Teapot. Thank you so much for joining me. I know that with spring break ending and being back into virtual schooling with the kids, a newborn, life some days feels so chaotic that I realized I need to talk to a professional. So I am bringing on Jo Frost from Super Nanny. She has 25 years in the parental arena. And guys, I mean, let's be honest, all those moms out there, we need the help. Jo, thank you so much for joining me today. I have to tell you, like last week, I thought like, I'm doing pretty good. Like I'm nailing this whole parenting thing. Well, it was because my kids were on spring break, but yeah, now they're back in school and it's like a hot mess express over here.
Like a lot of families were feeling the pinch when, you know, they were told, look, you're going to have to homeschool. I mean, you know, people were up in arms, how they were going to get through. Teddy, you know what? You're going to do the best that you can do. It's as simple as that. Listen, this is what I said to every parent, right? Which is true. We're not teachers, period, right? We're not teachers. Secondly, we're not homeschooling. Like everybody who homeschools knows that it's different. We follow a curriculum. Yeah, there are guidelines. And everybody's got their unique way of when they homeschool with their kids, if they homeschool. But for those of us that don't, that send our kids off on the bus, bye, have a good day, or drop our kids off or in the line, we are at home during a crisis homeschooling. Not homeschooling, no, we're at home during a pandemic trying to homeschool. So you're going to do the best that you can do. And what you can't do, you're going to let go of. Because I think it's really brought home to many parents really the importance of it being about themselves as well as them thinking so far ahead, thinking, well, what's it going to do to my kids? You know, is it going to mess up their exams? Is it going to this? Is it going to, you know, it's going to mess their whole life up? Look, at the end of the day, yes, education is incredibly important, but it's not going to insulate our children long-term from the mental health of what the impact of this will be. And we don't know what that's going to be because we don't know right now how long we're going to be in shelter for, what the plan is. Do we know as a country, as a community, as families, what the plan is for us to be back into the community where we're all going to be safe? I mean, we're all reading and we're all watching and we're all seeing what's going on, you know? So, you know, for parents out there right now, I need you to recognize the importance of cutting yourself some slack and recognizing this. You've got to meet in the middle. You've got to meet in the middle, otherwise you're going to drive yourselves insane. You know, reach out to teachers if you really are stuck and see if they can help you through it, right? Because kids are taught differently to how we were taught, you know. Get your older siblings to be able to help the younger siblings because they likely have a better chance of knowing than us, right? Because we were taught differently. Reach out to other mums and own it. I ain't got a clue. I'm clueless. I don't even know how to get through this one. Like, I don't even
more math? Like, are you kidding me? What is this new math? Like, my first grader is smarter than me. Right. Absolutely no idea.
Did you see that? I was talking about that wonderful, it made me laugh so much. I couldn't get through it. It took me four times to get through the end of it. Was the Israeli woman that, she was like, let me just whip out my clarinet. Oh, I'll just play the clarinet. Yeah, why not? I mean, of course I know what to do. Like, you know, she goes, yeah, my son's fine. He's eating us out of house and home. What about how I am, you know? I just found it so hilarious because right now, as parents, I do think we have to find a compromise. We have to find a middle ground. Humor is going to get us through this, but we have to be diligent as well with the important facts of what we need to do to keep safe, right? But at the same time, the only people that are going to cut each other slack is ourselves, right? I'm not saying throw the towel in and say, right, I'm not doing nothing. At least give it your 100% effort. At least put your best foot forward and give it a go. And reach out to another mum and say, I haven't got a clue. I have not got a clue. Do you know? Because I don't know. And if there's a band of you that ain't got a clue, then you haven't got a clue, right? And reach out to a teacher. And if that doesn't work, cut it. Cut right now and say, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. Because right now, we need to keep ourselves safe. We need to make sure that we're out and we are keeping social distance, but we are moving. We need to keep this healthy up here. Because if parents right now who are holding down the fort in their beautiful sanctuary are not creating an environment that's going to be conducive to us as parents and our children of calm, then we've got a war zone going on in our own home. And I've always said this, healthy parents' mind, healthier kids, right? Because they're looking to us. They're looking to us to be able to give them that reassurance, to be able to give them that guidance, to be able to be put underneath our wing because we protect our kids, right? And there are times when we do feel vulnerable, most times, right? And being courageous is walking and carrying on every day, even though you feel vulnerable and you feel helpless and you don't feel in control. So I ask you to look at, what do you feel in control of? What can you control? Can you actually wake up and create a routine that can be flexible enough to actually uphold 3 staple meals a day that are healthy and a couple of snacks that create no blood sugar dip so kids are getting agitated and anxious? Can you create boundaries in your home that allows you all to have a bit of quiet time, that allows maybe an older sibling to have some time in a bedroom that she shares with a sibling and then give after her time, the other person time in that room? Can you create a moment where you can communicate healthy with your partner and say, I love you, but right now you're getting on my nerves. And I realize that I need a time out. Like, I need just to be in my own bubble because there's too much mum, you know, dad. And I need a minute. I need a minute. So, you know, it forces us in a way, going through this pandemic, to look at the highlights of things that have been problematic for probably quite a while. And we've not been looking there because we've been distracted by iPads and using them as emotional crutches or going off to work, you know, and getting out and doing other things. And we've never got enough time and we just can't manage it. Now we're home.
Well, while you're talking about iPads, can I ask you a question? Because seriously, this is what happens. I've been allowing my kids to have 45 minutes of tablet time a day. I don't know if this is bad, but...
For education or entertainment?
It's Roblox.
But yeah, but for entertainment, right?
Entertainment. But yeah. Here's the problem. All day long. When can we have it? So I tried to set a time where I say every day we're going to do a little family walk around the house at 4 and then at 5 you can have the tablets. But then what's happening is they're all day long. How long until 5? Is it almost 5? It's like created, like they're like psychotically looking for this iPad all the time. And then last night I had like a moment. My son has not been wanting to sleep in his own room since I recently had a baby. So, but he's been wanting to come up, and before he went to bed, I did like 5 rounds of meditation, and then he still came up to my room, and I like kind of snapped at him, and I said, okay, if you come in right now, then you don't get any tablet time tomorrow. Yeah. And he had like a hysterical fit, and like, this is all happening, you know.
So you've got a mixture, you know, you've got a mixture of things right going on right now. So yeah. You've got right now a blend, a mixture of a few things. So you've got a 5-year-old right now that's looking for you to create stability and consistency in his day, right? So he was used to getting up and he'd have gone off to like a little, you know, little day camp, little school, whatever he was going to, right? Pre-K, right? Doing what he was doing, right? He was used to that. And then your older daughter, correct?
Yes.
Right? Your older daughter, Slate. So she would have been used to going off school, rah, rah, rah. So they would have been used to a certain routine that kind of would have gone around the cornerstones of school. Now that's changed. So they're looking for the stability, the solid foundation at home. So the way you support that is through a routine that's repetitive, because the repetition of that routine will create stability. And with more stability, it comes less of those same questions, because now they're reassured that when they wake up, this is what's going to happen. So kids also in that developmental age ask those things. They if they have a personality where they are more strong-willed, more outspoken, then they want to know more and be in control of more of their day. So instead of them following and just taking instruction, their temperaments are showing me, your kids, that they need to feel a part of the day, and you need to include that. So in the evening before they go to bed, it's, so get good sleep, because tomorrow here's the download for the day, right? This is what we're going to be doing. And in the morning, they'll ask you the same question to reconfirm that that is what's happening, right? If you kind of just wing it every day, they don't know where they're at. And so they're looking, for the want of a better word, your leadership as a parent to guide them, right? But it's only through the consistency of showing and staying firm with that that makes them feel stable and go, okay, I get it. This is what we're doing for the day. And I'm a part of what that day is. So you've got a five-year-old who has a temperament that needs and shows me they need to be a part of the day, not just told, like, so here's what the routine is, right? And you said you wanted to do what, cruise? Right, well, we'll definitely fit that in after lunch, and that's what we'll do. So you're hearing what he wants to do, what he needs to do. You're also fitting in what he needs to do, which is his early learning, right? And at the same time, you're letting him be a part of the day in showing him how he is involved in his own day. That creates more stability for him. However, here's your crutch. You've just had a newborn, right?
Yeah.
So meeting the needs and demands of a newborn is the priority, right? So he's now learning how to adapt to that transition, to that change. So the quicker you can create a routine that is, right, we get up, we make our beds, we have breakfast, we get dressed, then we're going to do some, you know, we're going to do some early learning and some school work. You set Slate up with her work, right, we're going to have to hold on there for a minute because it's now time for Dove's feed, and then we're going to do this. The repetition of that creates more of a stable foundation for that age. And then you can entwine all the off-the-cuff theme afternoons, fun things, just because, right? And when it comes to technology, when it comes to technology, you're looking at a regulated time on the iPad that's entertaining for him, at a time that's going to be conducive for you because it allows you to get something done with your youngest as well. So whether it's a feed, or whether it's a moment that you get some work done because then the baby's down for a nap, it creates that quiet time. But also, you now need the iPad for socialization and for educational purposes as well, right? So there are things that you need to respect. Now the iPad gets used not as the old crutch, but more a case of, right, this is for entertaining, that's for education, and this is so he can talk to his little buddies, or she can talk to her friends, right, and get a good 40 minutes of talking about whatever they want to talk about.
Quick question, not to interrupt, but so now I've gotten myself into a little bit of a predicament here, because last night I said, okay, well, you're not getting iPad. You're not getting your iPad time tomorrow, because I have done the schedule. They know their days. But what's going to happen now at the 4 o'clock when Slate is allowed to have her iPad time, Cruz, I took it away last night. I said, it's not happening tomorrow.
But why did you take it away?
Because we had made a deal that he was going to stay in his own room if I did 5 Andes, which is 5 meditations. And then he didn't. And he came up and he didn't come up and say, like, he just like came up and was like yelling, I'm not staying in my room, Mom. Like, I need to be in here. I have to be in here. And I said, Cruz, if you keep yelling, then you're not going to get iPad time tomorrow. So I'm probably doing this wrong. And maybe I didn't say it in that nice of a tone. And he said, I don't care. And then he laid down like on the little, you know, he laid down with us and slept with us. And then this morning he woke up and said, I don't get iPad time, right? And I said, no. But that was only because I didn't want to like go back on my word. But now I'm like, this is going to be terrible this afternoon, because then Slate's going to get it. He's going to be a whole disaster.
Here's what you do. Follow through on that and he don't get his time. But this is what you are going to do, because the bigger scheme of it, you're better off to follow through, because he actually brought it up to you. The reality is this, is that he's learning to go through a space of transition. Right. Remember, he was the youngest and now you've got Dove. Right. So he's learning that as well. It's only what, 5 weeks ago? Congratulations.
7 weeks now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Right? So,
you know, you're going through that newness there already. Right. By the way, you look bloody amazing. Hello. You look fantastic. You're going through that new transition. Right. So now is the time to be able to say to him, look, I know you're saying you want to be in my room, and I know that it's different because, you know, now we're looking after our beautiful baby and, you know, there's more things that I need to do as well. However, you are a big boy. You can sleep in your own room. By you telling me you can't, okay, is you creating trouble that's not necessary, and mummy doesn't want to be giving out discipline and consequences because you're not listening. I do want you to stay in your bed. You're more than capable of being able to do that. And what I would say to you is that it will be important to create a bedtime routine that's consistent, that isn't you don't need 5 meditations. You're just stalling to keep you there longer and longer.
I know! I'm
reading 2 books, do a gratitude for the day, kiss him goodnight, and say, I'll see you tomorrow, okay? And as soon as he comes into your room, do the stay in bed technique, okay? There are 3 points to that.
Okay,
the first, and here they are, A, B, and C. Once you've kissed him goodnight and you've said, tomorrow, this is the great day, this is what we're going to do, this is why you need to get to sleep, stay in bed technique. The first time he comes out and he comes into your space, wherever that is, right? So if he's calling you, you don't go in, right? Because he'll come out if he needs you. He'll come out and you'll say to him, it's bedtime, darling. And you're taken by the hand and you're lashing him back into the bed. And the second time he comes out, you say, bedtime. Take him back into his bed. And the third time, you say absolutely nothing and you take him back into bed. And beyond that, you do exactly step 3, okay? Until he's back in his bed. If you lose it with him, you've still given him what he wanted, which is contact and communication. So he needs to learn the difference between night and day, the transition, and not being rewarded for any conversation, because he'll take an argument with you and be combative just because he's up and he's having a conversation, even if it's a negative one. So it's teaching him to go back to bed and to self-soothe and to be able to be comfortable in his own bedroom, in his own bed, and learning that particular life skill. And you do it by using that technique. It keeps you composed and not losing your temper. It teaches him that day is day and night is nighttime, right? And it also leaves you to be in a space of being able to be more refrained, right? Because at the end of the day, you're tired as well. You've had a full day. You're looking after, you know, and meeting the needs and demands of a newborn, as well as, you know, a teenager, for the want of a better word, right? and a toddler. You know, Cruz just coming out of that, you know, toddler years. So it will not leave you in a place of going to, I'm going to take the iPad away. Because the truth of the matter is you do need it for educational reasons, socialization, and for a little bit of entertainment that will create the quiet time that you all will need, you know, because that allows another important thing that needs to happen, and that's boundaries, invisible boundaries. We need invisible boundaries to have healthy relationships with our children, with our partners, with our co-workers, you know, the boundaries that are kept that allow us to assert ourselves with respect for what others need as well. So, you know, that happens for not just siblings who need a time out from each other and a bit of quiet time, but for us to be able to have quiet time ourselves to sustain what we're doing. And creating those boundary lines allow us to be able to maybe just have a moment to ourselves, just some peace and some quiet. It allows us to separate our body physically from our children. So whether parents out there are sharing bedrooms with their kids, or separately they have their own rooms, it gives them a time to go in their rooms, to have their own space in their own rooms, and to do something they might want to enjoy, just as quiet time. You know, it's like at this age, you would say to them, we're all being in our own bubble right now. Like right now, mummy's going to be in her own bubble to do the things that mummy needs to do to have a bit of peace and quiet her time. You're going to choose to do your peace and quiet because you're going to use your iPad and be entertained with a game that you're going to play for 40 minutes, you know, 45 minutes, right? And your sister's going to go and do this. And to be honest with you, you need it with your partner as well, you know, because, you know, you're all at home, you're busy trying to get work done. You know, you've got to coincide with each other now when those appointments happen, when those meetings happen, when your deadlines are, and you've got to be able to work as a tag team. So again, the pandemic has highlighted the importance of what I work with families with all the time. Healthy boundaries, communication, and not being afraid to be able to turn around and say exactly how you feel. Like, you may be feeling really anxious. You may have been to a place where you feel this is great one minute, and now I feel hormonally this way. And I need to feel up and down, feel up and down. I need to be able to say, today I feel a bit all sorts. I don't feel quite there. I feel a bit foggy, you know, and to be able to communicate that so your partner can empathize and support. What do you need right now? What can I do for you right now? And vice versa. Or the moments when you just feel like, I love you, but right now you're getting on my nerves. I need 15 minutes just to myself.
Right.
You know, I need a breathe because I'm holding my breath. I need a breathe. You know?
In creating this structure, in doing that, I've noticed, and I'm on like a chat with all my mom friends where we like, vent or say what's happening that's working for us or those types of things. But something that has occurred to all of us, to every parent, is when your kids, like you've done all the things, you've done school, you've had fun, you've had playtime, you've gotten some fresh air, they've had their type of time. And then it's like, I'm bored. What next?
Good. Because that space between I'm bored and actually coming up with something phenomenal is the creative space. Okay,
but what do you say to your kids in that moment? Like, what? How do you, like, I'm always like, there's no such thing as bored. There's only boring people. Like, because I think my parents said that to me.
So, again, you know, there's this need to have to fill in every gap. This need to have to do that. So you do it again. Like, those parents that say to me, I've done it all. There's nothing else to do. There's always something to do. What do you mean you've done it all? Well, did you give yourself a break? Did you take 5 minutes? I've done it all. I've read every book. I've gone through everything. I've read all of this. Okay, how? I haven't even done that. How, you know, and I get this more than most. So how have you done every book, everything? Then play it again. Then let them play the same book again. It's like we run through it all and then say, okay, so now we need something new. Well, how many of you cook and have been cooking something new over the last 4 weeks? It's the same mentality when we sit down with our kids and say they won't eat. Well, yeah, because you made them try the broccoli once and then you didn't serve it to them ever again. And then you went on to something else. So play Chutes and Ladders again. I don't want to. I'm bored. Okay. Well, then go and tidy your room. No, I don't want to tidy my room. Okay. Well, then do some coloring. Listen, on my tweet, Joe_Frost, I have ideas for teenagers and for toddlers as well, for parents. But when your kid just looks at you and comes over to you and says, I'm bored, say, sit with that. Be content to just say, okay, you feel like you don't know what to do right now with yourself. You don't know how to be productive. Well, why don't you just sit with that and think with that for a moment? And maybe you'll think of an idea of something you might want to do next. Here are a few suggestions. You might want to do that. But if not, then think of something. It's like the pressure for parents to feel like they have to be the entertainer, the puppeteer, the chef. Be okay with that. They've got two legs. They've got two arms. They've got a brain. They'll work it out.
I know because I'm so used to us, you know, we have gymnastics on Thursdays and this on this day, and we're always going.
Because all those families that also overscheduled and now saying, oh my God, I've got free time. What do? Let your kids sit on the sofa and think about that. Okay, validate what they're saying. I feel bored. So you're saying that you don't really know what to do next. You don't know what you want to concentrate or focus on next. Well, why don't you just sit with that? That's okay that you feel that way. Just sit with that. You don't want to put the energy into something in particular? Well, then just sit and think about what you do want to put your energy into. Do you know how many houses I have gone into? I have traveled 48 states of this country. I have never seen a country so overpopulated with plastic toys and F.A. Schwartz than I have seen in this country. Like the amount of toys and games and arts and crafts and playrooms and you can't think of something to do. Sit with that.
And then as a parent, how do you not like lose your pay? Like, because what'll happen is like, well, you know, I'll try to sit in it for a little bit. And
you don't even have to.
How do you not ever lose your patience? Like, what's the...
You don't. You're not perfect. You don't. You're not perfect. No parent doesn't ever not lose their patience because no parent is perfect, because we learn patience and how to grow that great big fat bag of patience on the job, right? You know, raising kids. You know, you learn how to have more patience through the experience. Again, I think it allows you to be able to check in with yourself. The need for you to have things a certain way and for kids just to show up a certain way and to listen and be like little robots. Like, kids are not going to do that. They're going through the same stuff we're going through right now. They're going to wake up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. They're going to feed off the energy of their own parents. If their own parents right now are having a difficult time with handling the circumstances of not being out. I do want to say the importance, though, of energetic parenting. In other words, it's all about energy. If we do not move enough, then not only do we create less oxytocin, serotonin, dopamine up here to keep us healthy, but then we become fidgety and agitated and combative, and we squabble with our siblings and we answer back with our parents because we're not shifting and moving the energy of how mentally we may be feeling. So it's so important not just to get out for that 1 hour of brisk walking, nature looking, togetherness with respecting social distance, but also to do more at home as well. You've got to be doing more at home. So whether you're blasting up the music and they're dancing to Moana, or whether, you know, they've got some online fitness class for the kids to do and they're watching the telly and they're doing the jumping jacks and they're doing it as well, you know, they've got to do more than just that hour.
But if you have multiple kids, so like what'll happen is, you know, I have a stepdaughter as well, who's 11. So like, Isabella and Slate will be like thrilled to be doing the video, you know, or whomever it may be. And then Cruz is like, I don't want to do it. Do you then force the child that doesn't want to do it to do it?
No, because at that age, I do believe, you know, if you look at individually your ages, your 7-year-old is probably looking up to your 11-year-old and she'll be encouraged and motivated by the 11-year-old to do it. So they'll probably be doing it together. But that gives you a moment to actually focus with Cruz to do his early learning. So concentrating on his phonics and his shapes, you know, and scavenger hunts at home and reading time and his language, especially the baby will be sleeping or beside you. And then you can have that focused concentration with Cruz and do that with him whilst the other two are watching and taking lead from one of the fitness instructors doing that. Like, I don't know if you heard, but, you know, Joe Wicks is our national British leading all the kids through PE. He's had millions of followers around the world now watching him. And you can download him on YouTube. And he's really fun and great for the kids. And he gets them moving, you know. So we've got lots of those going on as well with fitness instructors online in the US as well. So, you know, there are moments to be able to recognize that. Don't force something where you're going to create more pandemonium. But at the end of the day, recognize that that may be the opportunity to actually do some focused work with your 5-year-old so that you are maybe just reading a book together, you know, because then you can go through words in the book, what they mean and things like that, you know.
And what do you recommend when siblings are, you know, because we all are together the same way you may get annoyed at your husband when your siblings are starting to like fight with one another?
Yeah. Recognize, is it a challenge that was going to come anyway, regardless of pandemic, right? So a lot of families said, oh, it's because of the pandemic. Well, maybe so.
Yeah, probably not.
But was it a little highlighter pen because actually they were squabbling before it all happened, you know, and this one is a little bit more domineering and this one don't like to share and this one always has to be their way. So, you know, I'll give a wide berth to some of those things happening due to pandemic circumstances. But what I'm seeing now is a lot of parental challenges that people want to know how to change because they're at home and right. Now they're seeing it. So whatever that circumstance is, get to the bottom of it and do what I use. I just call it SOS. It's my SOS technique. I step in to the circumstance. I observe. What's going on here? Who's doing what? I need to listen to both sides. I need to assess what situation I'm in. And so you step in, observe, and you step out, and then you step back in with decisive action. So when you walk into a situation, you're looking at it. So what's going on? Who's crying? Who got hurt? Who's got the last toy? Who's holding? Who got a whack over the head with a book? Who's now like this while you've walked in the room? Observe what's going on and who's doing what and who's, you know, crying anarchy, right? And who's the quiet one? Listen to both sides when you step back in so that you can make a decision, because it's either about teaching them to share or it's about taking turns or it's about somebody recognizing that they've been too domineering and they won't share and give up. And then you can allocate accordingly how to create better resolve. Now, you would expect that to happen from around 7, 8 and onwards by themselves. Only if at Cruz's age, around 5, you start to set the example as a parent. So what's happening here? Well, but she, one at a time. Right, what's going on? Hold on a minute. Let Cruz finish and then you can talk. Right, okay, what's going on? And then from there, you can make a decision and each child will feel heard that they've been able to share with you what exactly went on. And then you get as a parent to be able to set the example of how you resolve the situation, the moral compass of that circumstance. Why is it important to share? And how, you know, and how are we going to do that? And what are we going to put in place to regulate that, right? Again, we have to be more mindful as well. If a child didn't necessarily show that behavior before, are they picking up on anything that they're feeling from us? or is it because, you know, emotionally, it may be their way to either be more quiet or actually now to come out a little bit more fight or flight, right? So as adults, when we first heard of all this several weeks ago, and we were seeing what was happening in Europe, and we were hearing of what was going on here and the mixed messages and the inconsistency, and we were all up in arms as families going, what's going on? Are we going to go lockdown? Are we going to planes? What's happening? People are dying. You know, we went into fight or flight, right? We went into fight or flight or frozen. Delusion. This is surreal. This can't be happening, right? The immediate human response to a threat. Now we're in this space of adjustment. So we now realize that, okay, we're in this for a bit now. We've got past that. We've got past the moment of the initial adrenaline rush of threat. And now we're trying to create some normalcy with the circumstances that we have at hand. And what is that teaching us inwardly about what we need to refine, let go of, or defer, right? And from that space, we will then hopefully move on to new, I hope, profound measures of what truly is important right now in our lives, because this is shaping that. This is not to minimize the pandemic by any stretch of imagination, but I do hope that we profoundly, and I said this on my Twitter, symbolically can be like the hungry caterpillar. You know, we might eat a little bit too much. We're definitely cocooned indoors. But I hope the life lessons and the experience of this were not in vain for all of those frontliners that are doing the work that they're doing, and for those that have lost, that there is a breakthrough in humanity in understanding what's important for us as family, what's important with respect to our communities, and how we all strive with more love, compassion, and empathy as a country, as a world, because that, to me, feels like Mother Nature's just put us on the timeout, just put us on the naughty step, right? You know?
And how do you start to like manage their expectations? Like, for example, like summer camp, you know, my kids were really looking forward to summer. Yeah. They have this like 2-week drama camp that they do that they're so excited about. And like, they'll be like, do you think it's going to happen? Mom, like, are we going to be able to do this? And
it's not. Do you know that? I know that. Do you know that?
Yeah.
It's not. I think there's a danger in leading children to think something's going to, because they can sense it. Well, you know, it's like when you say, well, maybe kids want, they want what we want right now from government, truthfully. They want what we want. We want answers. We want leadership. We want more confidence, you know, because as families, we're uncertain about our jobs, our security, how we're going to feed our families. And for those of us that are fortunate and in different positions to those that are vulnerable, you know, we want to be able to look at how we can provide public service, or what can we do in our neighborhood or in our community, or in little ways that we do, like this conversation that we're having now, to be able to reach out to the mass of families, to be able to bring some insightful information to them. And I think it can be damaging when we say, well, we'll have to see, we'll have to. I know right now there's no summer camp. There is no way that there can be a summer camp. So I feel like some things we don't sugarcoat, but it's all in our delivery. We have to tell our kids the truth about certain things. You know, COVID-19 and the virus will be explained based on age appropriateness and recoursing or confirming information that they know. What do you know about it? That's the first question I asked my grandson. I'm looking after him right now with my husband. He's 5 and a half. He started to speak about it as I was picking him up in the car. And I turned around and I said, tell me what you know about the coronavirus. I needed to know first and foremost what he'd been told. A little bit of course correcting with that information. But it was to create not panic, right? Through my delivery of the information that was given. And for anybody wanting to know more about that, just go to Joe_Frost, because there's a pinned post already on my Twitter with how to talk to kids based on their age and what they do know. But the reality is some things we know, they're not going to be open, because the sensible thing right now under the circumstances with the number today of Americans who have passed away, there's no way. It's unsafe. So the conversation is one where we're not apologetic, but we are with empathy to how they may feel about it. You know, so mum, what about summer camp? I mean, are we going to go? Darling, there won't be summer camp. There won't be summer camp this year, unfortunately. Oh, mum, I feel really bad about that. You know, I'm sure you do, darling. So do I, because I really love that you love going. It's validating how they feel. Your delivery is soft and empathetic, but you're still being truthful. You're still being truthful. Well, why is that? Because it would be unsafe for us all to come together, a mass of people. You know, like it's unsafe right now that we all go out, and that's why we go out and we're in our bubble and we social distance from other people. Well, right now, this particular time in the summer, it would be dangerous for all the children to get together and be in summer camp because of the virus. You know, so there's a very strong factual information that you're delivering. But in how you're delivering it, it's right. Empathetic, it's connecting, it's validating, and your children are feeling heard, you know?
What would you say, like, is the worst parenting mistake you can actually make with your kids right now? And, like, how do you flip it if it's something, you know? Like, for those of us who, like, I mean, we have so much mom guilt and we put so much pressure on ourselves or whatever it may be.
God, I don't even want to fight what mistakes, because I feel like when parents make a choice to do something, they learn from it. And, you know, that's okay. I would say, don't answer something you don't know.
That's a really good one.
Answer something you don't know. Be okay with not knowing, you know? My grandson asked me, when will this all stop? I said, I don't know. I actually don't know. Well, when will you know? I said, when I hear from people on the news that I'm looking at through my phone, and I'll get to start to have a look at those different opinions and then decide from there, Eli, with what the scientists are saying, and to see what, you know, those that are looking at the virus. I said, I actually don't have the answer for you, because I don't know either. You have to be comfortable with not knowing, you know. And I know there's a difference in what you tell your kids, right? So that you're not creating panic and stress and anxiety. What young kids don't need to know, they don't need to know. Regulate what they're hearing, regulate what they're watching. Know that they're listening when you think they're playing and they're just on the floor because they want to be near you, and they're playing somewhere between the living room and the kitchen. They're hearing everything. They're not going to escape that. And to some degree, they are going to be the silent witnesses of this circumstance, because none of us professionals know what the impact will be, because it's a moving target right now. We don't know how long we're going to be in lockdown for, what the repercussions of that is going to mean. If they're, you know, the likely chance of it spiking again is going to happen. We've seen that already in history. We've seen the doctors and the scientists say as such. So, you know, it's going to not just have us in the immediate of recognizing how we stay present and mindful of enjoying the day alongside this pandemic, but what it means for us in the steps that we take in the several months ahead. What does that summer mean? And what does then the autumn mean once we start coming into fall and winter again? Because the likely chances are we could see a spike again, you know? So, you know, we're also thinking ahead as parents, and then thinking where we are maybe for the summer. Now we've got through spring break, But the one thing that we can only do that's in our control is to focus on today.
Right.
And what that today looks like, and to stay present. Because if we then start to, if we then start to run away with our thoughts of what could be, of what could be, and it's all hypothetical, we create, I think, more mental harm for ourselves, because that leads to more worry and anxiety. And those thoughts then manifest themselves in how we feel physically. So it's important for family wellness, I would say, to, yes, do what you're doing. You've already said, meditate. For parents to be able to just breathe, even if it's just a breathing exercise right now, laying on the bed, placing your palm of your hand over your tummy and just breathing through your diaphragm so that you are breathing correctly, and letting go and exhaling and then letting go. If it's meditation, I love Headspace. I use it. My husband uses it. We love it. If it's walking through with somebody, if it's a group meditation, I did that the other day. I loved it. It was brilliant. Coming together with others, doing it with the family. The ritual of staying focused with what we are grateful for, I think, brings a lot of inner happiness. So to come together as a ritual every morning and just hold hands, today, what are we grateful for? What are we truly grateful for? I think really keeps us focused in a nice space, considering with what we're dealing with on the outside, right? And it's about creating through our rituals and our practices an energy in our home that truly becomes our sanctuary, because this is where we're spending the most time, you know? It is where we're spending our most time. So the gratitude, the meditation, the importance of the education, right? But realistically, I don't want parents to beat themselves up. I want them to be realistic and not polarized in their approach, okay? We're not perfect. And if we can't learn in these times to let go and surrender to the things that we're not brilliant at, then we have to look at what that means for ourselves. You know, what does that really mean? It becomes about us. It becomes about our ego, our insecurity, right? To keep moving forward, because that's the courageous skill that I'd love to teach any kid, right? That through this endurance and this perseverance of something that is so catastrophic, your children learn that vulnerability is strength, that you get up every morning and you, well, actually I can see, and you make your bed. Your bed is made, right? Your bed is made, right? We get up and we get productive. We get up, we make our beds. Right? We go and we sit down and we have breakfast. We get ourselves dressed, that's another task. And we've made our bed. And now we'll move on and we'll do this. And for older kids, we'll get our chores done. And we'll be productive during the day because it's keeping ourselves busy. And we'll all engage in something together as a family. And we'll all do things separately as well, because we all need to have our own time as well. And we'll meet the needs and demands of our youngest, right? Our newborn, our first infant years. But at the same time, we'll allow our children to give them the space to breathe themselves and to feel and to sit and be okay with that.
And I think, like, I've noticed that when this all first started, I was super anxious, like beyond, and I was trying to hold it in and hide it from them. Yeah. And then they started like almost internalizing it and thinking it was something else. And the second that I said to them, hey, you guys, like, I'm sorry, like, mommy is like a little bit anxious right now because I'm trying to do a bunch of things at once. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you feel that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry, you know, I just.
That's okay, mommy.
Yeah, and they didn't even care.
That's okay, mommy. They're doing this. That's okay, mommy.
Oh. Yeah, they're just like, you know, or there was one day that I was like, you guys, you know, I wanted to tell you I love you and I'm thinking about you. Like, are you missing your friends? Is there something you want to do? And they're like, you know what? No, we feel really good. And like in my mind, I had already decided that they weren't.
Yeah.
Like,
it again becomes a projection of how we are. And so it's really important as parents to be able to just check in with yourselves. And to The thing is that kids feel. They feel that energy. It's like when you say, it's like when you turn and say, no, mom, it's fine. They can feel it when you're not. Remember, they've had to rely on those skills when they were born, you know? So they feel that. So it's okay to say, mommy feels a little bit anxious. Oh, what's that? Well, you know, I'm feeling these things. And you can talk about those signs and symptoms. And at the end of the day, you're also teaching them to check in with themselves as well. But know the difference when, you know, there's a very fine line, but only when you spend enough time and real detail in watching your children. This is a great opportunity right now, what I'm going to tell you about. It's for families to learn to not be in everything all the time. Sit back. Don't feel like you have to be in everything all the time. Because a lot of parents say to me, oh, my kids just following me around, Mary and little lamb, following me around. They want to be playing right in front of me, which is fine. But they're just right there all the time. It's the moment for you to be able to say, I'm here, I'm going nowhere, I'm here. But you're fine in the living room to play, and I'm in the kitchen and I'm getting some stuff done, you're fine. Or I'm going to get some work done at the table here, and you're more than capable of being able to play what you are in the living room. Don't feel like you have to be in everything all the time. Give your kids the space to be able to play, to be able to read, to be able to do their own things, even at the toddler years, because it also gives you an opportunity to observe, to be able to watch, to be able to see every little nook and cranny on their faces for the times when they are trying to pull a fast one over you and pretend, because that won't go away because there's a pandemic. Kids are kids, and they're still going through child development and the little things that they do, right? But it also allows you to know when they need just a little bit more, you know, a little bit more of an extra conversation or another book or just that little extra kiss and that cuddle, you know, before you're putting them off to bed, you know. And there's a fine line, but you only get to really intuitively know that when you spend time and you watch, because then you feel. You don't only just know by looking at them and watching their body language, but you feel it. You just know it. And it's instinct. That's your instinct. So I'm hoping it will give parents an opportunity to, because we all have it, but just to just raise our intuitiveness with our children so that we can use that every day with our kids, what we feel, what we know with conviction, because we just know it as their parents, because we're that in tune, because we can read their faces, because we see the slightest muscle move or a slight twinge of body or a head slightly cocked, or a leg that moved another way that said something different to what the body said, you know, and it allows us just to know, just need just a little bit more there.
It's so true. I mean, like I'll notice when all of our kids do it, whenever they're thinking, they like cross their two of their toes over one, the other toe. And my husband does it as well, but it's like, it's one of those things. It's just like, I know that something's on their mind or they're thinking when they do it. And when I posted that we were going to be talking today, the number one question that every single person, like, I'm not kidding, so many people wrote in, how do you make it look so easy? And is that like your special sauce? Is that just, you're so intuitive to listening to what the kids are saying or?
Well, 30 years of experience will do that, right?
Right.
30 years of experience with different families and different children, but I home in. There's not much I miss. So I'm looking, you know, I'm scanning everything very, very quickly at the blink of an eye, very, very quickly. But experience is what gives you that. But to be able to tune in, it's not about just listening to what's being said. It's about listening to what's not being said. It's watching what's being said and how somebody's body is as well. So there's body language, it's what somebody says, what somebody doesn't say, it's the environment, it's the other family members, it's lots of things, but it's also an intuitive, I'm very, you know, I'm an empath, an intuitive empath, so very in tuned with families and children. But it's certainly about being very sharp in what I notice.
Right.
And having a fair balance through experience of knowing the need and the want is very different. So that there is a fairness in recognizing when there is a need and when it's just what kids want, right? Because people say, well, how do you know the difference? And you, when you're intuitive, it's with conviction. That there's no other way. There's no other, it's there. You, because it's a knowing, right? And you only get that by spending that time with your children and observing. And I think that one of our biggest issues is staying focused in a world that's so distracted.
Right.
We're distracted so much by so many things. So it's staying focused. So, you know, those little small things really count in what we observe when we can step back and not feel like we have to be in the middle of everything. And so when you feel as a parent that you're in the eye of a storm and a tornado is there, you know, in the middle of two kids wanting to rip each other's hair off at their head, right? And everybody's screaming, anarchy, they all want to be heard, they want what's fair, is to literally step back. I do it in my mind. I ask people to do the SOS technique physically, to walk in, to see, to step back, observe, and then step back in with action and to make a decision. Whatever you do, don't do nothing, but make a decision. Because one way, it's going to be the right decision, or it didn't pan out so well. And you'll learn from that, and you'll make a different decision next time, you know? But the need to be everything for our kids puts a lot of pressure on the individual, you know, which is impossible to accomplish. I mean, we can never keep all of our kids happy all of the time. You know, and I think what's most important is for parents to be in a space where they have had some rest, that they are creating space for them to recognize that this is a period to prioritize what's important, the rest that they can get when they can get it, and to create an environment for children that is calm and still, because they look to us. And if we're unsure and if we're uncertain, and if we are not grasping a hold of our own mental health, we're going to make them panic. We'll make them scared, you know. And then we'll project onto our children a worry and a concern. And we all know, you know, how that can manifest itself for us as adults. Imagine how crippling that can be for young children as well, and for teenagers, and the ramifications of that, you know. So sleep is important for us to get. But that sleep, you see all my notes here, but that sleep happens with, you know, that sleep happens certainly when we've been able to move, you know. So we need to do more than kids just playing. You know, we literally need to partake in some form of movement online, or we make it up ourselves, you know, and we dance a whole load, or we make up some different moves, or we do different exercise techniques and stretch and move with our kids so that they're, you know, so that they're moving more as well, and that they're releasing. Otherwise, it sits still in the body. That energy sits still, and you feel, you must have had moments yourself, because I have.
Oh, I have to.
I'm doing this. I'm doing this. I feel like I need to do, like, I need to do, like, and I realize, is it mental? Or is it physical? I'm like, no, it's physical. I need to move. I need to be physical. So we know it ourselves.
Next to my desk, so that, like, in between some of my work calls, I can go and just move for a second.
Yeah.
Or you feel like you're going to explode.
So kids, they have a lot of energy. And a lot of parents say, oh, my kids have got ADHD. They're so hyper. No, they're not. They're kids. Yeah. Kids have a lot of energy. We've lost our expectation of exactly how energetic toddlers are, kids are, you know. So we can set some really good examples whilst being at home, and we can sharpen up our communication skills with our partners, you know, and we can breed more compassion and more empathy, and we can recognize the importance of boundaries, and at the same time we can create a sanctuary in our homes that becomes conducive to us having fun and focus, but at the same time as well, a lot of peace, you know, because that's what we need right now, because the outside, we've got no control over right now what's happening.
Oh, I know. And I feel honestly so much better from even talking to you. And I know this is going to help so many people. I wish we could, I have a million more questions, but I guess because of time, I just have to ask one last one.
Yeah.
When are you moving in?
You have to be patient and join that list.
Thank you so much for today. Honestly,
thank you.
This has been so incredible. And honestly, you made me feel so much more at ease. I feel like I started this conversation, I felt tense at the beginning, and I took a breath. So I hope there's so many other parents that listen and that calming, we're going to be okay.
We are going to be okay. We are going to be okay. And we will get through this. And parents, you will do the best that you can do. I'm not saying throw in the towel. You know that I would never say throw in the towel. Our kids need us. And, you know, we need to be kind to ourselves as well. And we will get through this. And we're going to work alongside what is happening all around us. And we're going to do the best that we can do. And we are going to lean on others for support. And we are going to look at what we can give to others and have more empathy and teach some really beautiful life skills and be a wonderful example, I think, to our children in the way that we choose, because it is a choice, in the way that we choose to wake up in the morning and to carry on with our day. And every day is different. Look, you know, under the guise of no pandemic, you know, it's up and down. But we're going to do the best that we can. That's all we can do. So for all you parents who have been biting your nails off with worry, you know, let go. Let go. You know, I saw you like this, and then you kind of went like this.
Yeah.
Talking. I'm like, you're going to do the best that you can do, and that's good enough. That's good enough.
Well, thank you so much.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So if you guys want to learn more about Jo Frost and some of her tips and tricks, I mean, they're not even tips and tricks, but just great parenting advice, you've got to watch full episodes of The Super Nanny at mylifetime.com. And you guys, for any future podcasts or any questions you have, please email me at teddyt@iheartradio.com. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks for listening. Subscribe to Teddy Teapot on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.